702.
The Aubrey Masango Show.
Live, online.
Smartphones, DSTV.
92.7.
And 106 FM.
22 minutes to 10 o'clock. My guest is Professor Begimgo Mazulu, Professor of Political Science and Deputy Dean of Research at the University of the Western Cape. In his latest opinion piece, he writes, "There should be a cap on the number of political parties and independent candidates. Secondly, the party with the highest number of seats should form a government. Small parties should not be allowed to dictate terms, since this negates democratic principles," writes Professor Begimgo Mazulu. He joins me now on the line. Prof, thank you very much for joining me. I really appreciate your time. What do you make of the developments as we see them unfold this evening, particularly here in Gauteng with the various metros, where the DA seems to be winning all of the mayoral chain positions? The positions of speaker seem to be going to the DA. Have they been outmaneuvered? And what of your opinions with regards to how the electoral process should be handled, given the fact that it appears that smaller parties do have sway and power as to whom becomes the leader of governance in those various municipalities? Prof?
No, thank you very much, my brother, and thanks for having me, and good evening to your listeners.
Indeed.
To be honest with you, the developments that have been taking place the whole day today, including the chaos and, in fact, the shame that happened in Ethekwini, are some of the things that don't paint our country in a positive light. And the other thing that maybe I should just mention up front is that I'm averse to this idea of coalitions. I hate coalitions with a passion. Whether you are talking about grand alliances, referring to coalitions that are formed by big parties, or we are talking by coalitions by smaller parties, coalitions in their nature, in my view, are not democratic. And the reason for that is that you find that people will vote for a particular political party for one reason or the other. And then they don't vote for the other party because they have reasons why they are not voting for that party. But immediately after the election, you find that the party that they voted for is now joining hands with the party they didn't want to vote for.
Yeah.
And when that process happens, they are not consulted. But then to answer your question about what has been happening in Gauteng, Johannesburg, Tswane, and Ekurhuleni, it's a shame for democracy. Because if you listen to Herman Mashaba, he showed what I normally refer to when I talk to other politicians, political arrogance. Some take it negatively, by the way, but all I mean is that you cannot basically preempt what is going to happen and then think that you have all the powers. Because the reality of the matter is you may have some seats, and then you may think that we are going to use these seats to achieve a particular goal, only to find that such a thing doesn't happen. Which then talks to the point you made earlier on when you introduced this talk and saying that it's not okay for politicians to say, even after 300 years, I'm not going to vote with Party A or Party B. I was in Kenya in 2002 when the NAC, that is National Rainbow Coalition, ousted KANU, which has been in power since independence in 1963. One of the politicians made a profound statement saying, in politics, there are no permanent friends and there are no permanent enemies. And I subscribe to that. So to say you never talk to a particular party doesn't make sense. The EFF, in fact, has become a kingmaker, and not for the good reason, but because they wanted to punish the ANC. And that alone tells you that that is undemocratic, because you can't gang up against one political party for your own political egos and not necessarily for the electorate who are expecting services from you. So from all angles, I don't like coalition.
Prof, let me just interrogate your assertion about the undemocraticness of coalitions. Some people may argue that that is ultimate democracy, that you have given the option to the electorate to choose whom they want to govern. And unfortunately, the reality becomes that there are, you know, different views in society represented by the various political parties, formations, independents that are there. And that we have to live with that reality, as complex as it may be, because that is the dictate of the principle of democracy. The fact that it's uncomfortable is not the fault of democracy. We chose this. Explain that to me, Prof.
If you define democracy, it should be government of the people, by the people. And normally we refer to a simple majority. That is, in the liberal democratic sense, we refer to a simple majority. Of course, in the African sense, it's something else, because in Africa, we believe in consensus building, as opposed to simple majority. So now, if you have a party that has 2 seats, and you have another party that has 98 seats, and for you to run the municipality, you need 100 seats. What then happens is that the party with 2 seats will say, okay, you have 98, I'm going to give you my 2 seats, but here are my conditions.
Yeah.
I want to be a deputy mayor, or I want to be a municipal manager, or I want to be a speaker. With your 2 seats, you are basically dictating for the majority who gave party A 98 seats. For me, that can't be democratic. Of course, the party that got 98 seats will be forced to accommodate you just because it wants to run the municipality. For me, the best that could happen is that the party with 98 seats can negotiate with the one that has 2 seats only if they agree openly and fairly as to what needs to happen. But then they must also listen to the voices of the electorate as to whether they want these two parties to meet or to merge or to form a coalition or not. If that fails, you better go for what the Structures Act says, that you put the municipality under administration, and then within 90 days, you call for a by-election. At least by then, those who didn't vote, which is what is the case here, a number of people did not vote, some because they're not happy about the ANC, and they said they want to punish the ANC by not voting, but at the same time, they are not going to vote for other political parties. But believe me, if you were to have a by-election, those people would have come back to their senses. Those who were angry, the anger would have subsided. Those who were excited, the excitement would have subsided, and they were going to vote differently. So I think for me, that is what would work. But then, there we have it. We have coalition. The DA is winning left, right, center, partly because the EFF was angry when their coalition talks with the ANC did not work. And now they've taken a decision that they will punish the ANC. What those who go to church will tell you, that at one point the man called Jesus Christ was on the cross and there were known culprits. And then when they were given an option to rescue one, they said, okay, fine, release that one, but we wanted Jesus to be crucified. This is what has happened.
So what you're saying to me is that the ascendance of the DA to power in these various metros is not because of a principled decision by the players, the party political players, but really inspired by vindictiveness against the ANC by the EFF. But let's talk a little bit.
Mainly by the EFF, other parties too, but mainly by the EFF. Yeah. Like, the reason why the process could not be concluded in Etewini today and has been moved to Wednesday is primarily because of that reason. After electing one office bearer, that is the speaker, the other parties then said, okay, let us come together, all of us. Let us gang up against the ANC. Then chaos started. And now they've postponed the sitting to Wednesday, hoping that by then they would have resolved the issues. So if they succeed in ousting the ANC, it is not because they are doing this on principle. They are doing this in order to meet a particular agenda, which is short-lived. Because immediately after the ANC has been ousted as a common enemy, then reality will sink in. In the same manner that we saw things happening in the National Assembly when then President Jacob Zuma was there. He was the running point. He was the common enemy. And then you could see even EFF and DA singing from the same hymn book. The moment Zuma disappeared from the scene, reality sank in. And the same thing is going to happen now. You'll oust the ANC, put in the DA because of this the politics of convenience or inconvenience. And then after that, the reality will sink in, and then we'll see this this coalition collapsing. In any case, we saw the same thing happening in 2016.
Yeah.
It's not as if it's a new road we're traveling.
And that signals the lack of service delivery and proper governance for the next 5 years. Because we'll probably be seeing motions of no confidence after motion of confidence. Municipalities will be held at ransom to the whims of various political personalities in the various councils. What are the options that are available to us as things are, as the rules dictate at the moment, for us to see a more stable form of governance after the euphoria of who has won and who has lost and who has been vindictive and who hasn't been vindictive? As things stand at the moment, what is the best option for the electorate, the people on the ground that have voted for these individuals to try and govern our cities and our municipalities? What is at our disposal?
Unfortunately, our power is limited. The only time we have power is during election day. That is when we can exercise our power without violating any piece of legislation. But once these municipalities have been constituted, our power is very limited. Of course, we can raise issues using our channels, but unfortunately, most of these councillors don't even go to their constituencies. So it will be as if we are making faint noise from a distance because they won't even be hearing us. And the best we could do is to do things the South African way, which I don't normally approve of, which is to toy-toy. Because then if you do that, then it becomes illegal, and then in the process many people die. So I think what we are faced with right now is a reality that is going to sit with us for the next 5 years. But I was saying to other media houses that the moment a municipal council is constituted through a coalition which has been put together haphazardly, then we can kiss service delivery goodbye. Because what is going to happen is that these politicians will keep reminding one another, by the way, you are there because of me. I became the kingmaker. You are there at my behest. You owe me. All those kinds of things. And when those things happen, people are going to suffer the most as the electorate. As the saying goes, when elephants fight, it is the grass that suffers. This is the reality we are faced with. And for as long as our constitution is the way it is, the relevant sections that I cited in my piece, our hands are tied, because everything that we do, given that South Africa is a constitutional democracy, we have to do everything by the constitution. And at the moment, I don't think that we can find our way around that.
Prof, if you had a magic wand, what legislation would you change or introduce in order for us to have more stable governance at local government? I ask this question because local government is really where the rubber meets the tar. You know, I mean, this is where people meet and interact directly with government, right? What legislation, what policy statements that are out there would you want to change in order for us to have more sustainable governance so that budgets are voted for on time so that we can see service delivery? Because we need it more than ever now.
Unfortunately, South Africa is a unitary state and not a federal state. Therefore, even though we have three spheres of government, we are still a unitary state, which means municipalities, for example, cannot come up with legislation that contravenes national legislation. So for me, what would happen would be to review the national constitution. One thing I would do, for example, if I had power, I would just have three political parties. I would just say Constitutionally, you have three political parties. You are not a one-party state, but you have three political parties. That would mean you have the governing party or the ruling party, however you call it. You have the official opposition, and then you have the kingmaker. Then there you'll have people with a sober mind, not people who are creating political parties because for them that is a way of creating employment. And then when they get this one seat, they go around knocking at other political parties and then making these ridiculous demands just because they want to enlist themselves. So for me, that will be the starting point. Just have three political parties. If you can't find any party you align yourself with, stay without a political party, and then on election day you can vote for any of the three. Then at least you're fine. Because at a local level, at a local government level, at a municipal level, if you have these coalitions and people don't get services, the worst that could happen, especially in the South African context, is that our infrastructure will be destroyed. Because when people are not happy in South Africa, they say the only language politicians understand is violence, which is a bad thing, but unfortunately, it's true. Because they don't have a chance to talk to their politicians, so the only time they are listened to is when they go to the streets, they destroy infrastructure. You destroy a clinic because you want a school. Then the government builds a school, then you complain about the clinic. And then you destroy a church because you want... So the list goes on. So which means that our resources will be totally wasted. So just reduce the number of political parties, have a cap, and then if there is an election, and then, as you say, two parties have the same number of votes, then, of course, we still have the third party, and then we can decide. They can collude. The number one and number three, or number one and number two, doesn't really matter. At least we'll be having three that we can control. So for me, that is what I would do.
I suppose sympathizers with the EFF would say to you, Prof, in fact, Kehilo Pepeng on Twitter says, the professor sounds like he's got chest pains from the master game plan unleashed by the Red Berets. This is democracy in action, Prof. How do you respond?
Luckily, I do talk to a number of political parties, including some leaders of the party of the EFF. At one point, in fact, they were joking, saying that I'm Gomezulu. We'll talk to the CIC and ask him to give you the card, the membership card, because you are giving us something to laugh about. We are saying that we are a party for the future. And I still maintain the EFF is a party for the future, because look at 2016 election, they did very well. 2019 national and provincial government, they did very well. In this election, they are on the upward trajectory, so they are a party for the future. But on this one, when they were making the suggestion that Mashaba must get Johannesburg, the EFF will get Tswane, the EFF should get Ekurhuleni, in fact, I supported them because it made a lot of sense. You govern on your own, so that when you fail on your own. But then the moment they said negotiations between the EFF and the ANC didn't work, I didn't have a problem with that because it didn't work. Some coalition discussions don't work anyway. But where I have a problem is then side with the DA, not because of any principle, but out of anger. And the DA is on record saying that it doesn't want to work with the ANC, it doesn't want to work with the EFF. And Mashaba is also on record saying exactly the same thing. So to go back and vote for the DA or with the DA just because we want to punish the ANC doesn't make sense to me.
Dr. Begim Gomezulu, thank you very much for your thoughts, your opinions.
Thank you very much.
Appreciated. Professor Begim Gomezulu, Professor of Political Science and Deputy Dean of Research at the University of the Western Cape.